Here we go. I'm going to be introducing you to Dr. Pinkston right here, and I want to talk to you about the circuitous route that we came that brought us here this morning. We heard from Joe Brochak that was supposed to Brochak, who was supposed to be here, and he had a unfortunate confrontation with a snow plow. He fell off his. Car went off the side of the road up in New York. They've had a lot of snow. He can't be with us today, but he sends us he's well. He's getting some tests. So that led us to what are we going to do for this morning? So we talked about having some videos. We talked about so I wound up calling our friend Michael Carney, and Michael Carney spoke in the it's got the spirit of the beginning of the spirit is the name of our theme this morning, and the spirit has led us to Tom through Michael. I sent out a little bit of a resume about Tom yesterday that he's he is an inspiring man. When I met him over at his home, he gave me this book, gifted this book to me, and it's called Do They Celebrate Christmas in Heaven? It is an absolutely delightful book about the rite of passage of children that are in life-threatening situations. So Tom has had a myriad of experiences. I want him to tell us about this book. I want him to tell us about the hospice work that he started and the work that he does with did with the indigenous folks in Mexico. The Hutl group, and then he just has so many things to tell us about. So I'm going to turn it over to him right now to talk to us about in the beginning was the spirit, and we're going to bless him and get on with the morning.
We bless you as you share your gifts of spirit, light, and insight. We welcome you with joy.
All right, this is Dr. Pinkson. Welcome. I'll put on you're on mute, Tom.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm just taking in your blessings with gratitude, and happy to be here. And I want to send out some prayers for healing for Joe, and gratitude that what I call angels of protection helped him get through whatever he went through there, and it's going to be okay. Also, want to acknowledge and send gratitude to the ancestor spirits of the land here where I live, the Chumash, and to the ancestor spirits of your line and wherever it is that you live, whose land we live on, the ancestor spirits are alive and present. So reflecting on meditating this morning on this opportunity that spirit brings us together to do some sharing, it came to me of how significant figures of different religions, Moses, first in a conversation with a bush, spirit called him through a bush out in the desert, and then going up on the mountain, and Jesus 40 days out in the desert, Muhammad in a cave, and other mystics throughout time, going out to be with intimate time. And Buddha in the jungle under the Bodhi tree, all going out into nature and spending time in solitude as a vital dynamic of their spiritual awakening and their empowerment to go come back from their quests in nature, solitude quests in nature to serve spirit. And this connects, I share this with you because it was almost, I think, 52 years ago when I was directing a drug treatment program for heroin addicts that I helped co-found, and frustrated that the good people and the good programs we had weren't really working too well. And so I developed a wilderness component, a wilderness treatment program that utilized mountain climbing and rock climbing and whitewater river running and backpacking, taking the addicts out into the wilderness. And I hired staff that had the expertise that I didn't have at the time, wilderness expertise, to develop a 6-day program and take me, and then I would go through it before asking someone else to go through something. I needed to go through it, which included a 24-hour time of solitude. We backpacked into about 10,000 feet into the High Sierra wilderness setting. And after being together, doing some mountain climbing and every night around the fire, guarding the food up in the trees, that we had to tie the food up in the trees, counterbalance on a branch. This was the day before there were bear canisters. And bears would come around every night, we'd have to chase them away. And then it came time for the 24 hours of solitude, going off by myself without the fire, into the dark, without a tent, and spending that time alone. And that was something I'd never done before. I had a tremendous amount of fear and anxiety to do that because I knew the bears are around. I wasn't going to have the companionship of the other people and the warmth and protection of the fire. I was going to be on my own. It was a very, very long night. I was woken up a million times with cortisol shooting through my body of fear and anxiety. Every noise I heard, will I make it through the night? Will I survive? And after maybe the 87th time I was woken up in a terror, panic, I noticed in the east that something different was happening in the direction of the east, that there was just slight semblance of some light starting to come in. And I knew I had made it, survived through the night, that the light was on its way. And I felt such joy when I saw that. And I felt a kinship with something I'd read about in books, like with the Pueblo Indians would get up in the morning before the sun rose and face the east and give thanks for that sun coming up. And in that instant, when I saw that I had survived and the light was coming through, I'd made it through the night, I felt this kinship, this oneness with the people, the indigenous people around the world who recognize that what I hadn't recognized up to that point. When that sun comes up in the morning, that's a holy experience. That's a sacred experience, because if it didn't happen, we would not be here. And I recognized the power of ritual and ceremony of people getting up to do that. And when I came back from the quest, I realized that I had been so impacted by it that I was just scratching the surface of it. I wanted to learn more about how to use this experience to grow myself in the ways that I experienced so tremendously during that 24 hours of solitude, especially facing my fears and gratitude with the coming of a new day. I was driving back. I stopped at a bookstore from that vision quest, and this book jumped out at me. It was called Lame Deer, Seeker of Visions. And from the first page, the author of the book, Lame Deer, who was a Lakota Wichasawakan, a sacred holy man, was describing his experience of solitude in nature when he was a teenager as a rite of passage into spiritual adulthood. And it was called the Vision Quest. And so this spoke so deeply to my heart that I wanted to learn more about a culture that recognized the importance of this rite of passage into spiritual adulthood and brought its young people into it. I wondered, raised the question of mine, well, what else do indigenous cultures know and understand that my culture doesn't really understand? And so I wanted to meet a native person. I was teaching at the time a psychology course at the local junior college, and I found out there was a native man art teacher there, and I went to meet him. And over a period of time, he tested me in many different ways. He said, you're going to have to learn how to penetrate what he called the buckskin curtain if you want to learn about indigenous ways. Well, I was scheduled to go out on another solitude quest, which now I understood in his culture was called the Vision Quest. And so I asked him for his guidance about how to best be in respectful relationship with this time of solitude in nature. And he looked at me with great harshness, and he said, when was the last time you lied down on your stomach on Mother Earth and thanked her for all she has been given to you 24/7 for all the years of your life? And when he asked me that question, I was totally busted because the answer was never. And so he said, so when you go out on Vision Quest, instead of what my previous motivation had been, what can I get from this for myself to help me grow? He said, what you need to do is address that imbalance that's been created with all the gifts you've been given from Mother Earth that you've never said thank you for. And so go out for that period of time when you're on your own, in nature, not eating, seeking nourishment from spirit through nature, being in nature in that way, and face each of the directions. You saw the power of what happens in the East, the spiritual medicine teaching power that comes from the East with the sunrise. He said, well, there's an equal medicine power, he called it, teaching that comes from each of the other directions, the South, the West, the North, as well as the direction below you, the earth, as well as the direction above you, the sky. There's teachings, power, help, wisdom, guidance coming to you from each of those directions. And go to each of those directions and give thanks. Just say thank you. Go down in your heart, give thanks, and spend your time out there day and night. That's what you're doing. So you come back from that quest exhausted because you've spent that time giving thanks and trying to address that imbalance of how you've been living your life, just taking, taking, taking with no gratitude. So I did that. And 52 years later, I'm still doing that, heading out in about 6 weeks for my 52nd Vision Quest experience. And let me just take a moment. Gratitude for all the gifts that have come and continue to come to help me find my life. And part of that path took me in 1981, the Vision Quest path, took me to Mexico, to a friend I knew married into a tribe in Mexico that continued its shamanic practices, passed on through the generations, because when the Spaniards came and started killing the people for observing their religion, they lived so far high in the mountains, the Sierra Occidental Mountains, that they escaped the persecution and were able to carry on, considered one of the main tribes in Mexico, to carry on their ancient traditions, shamanic traditions, going back into the mists of time. And a friend of mine married into that tribe, and at a certain point, he opened a doorway, you might say, to take a small amount of gringos on a sacred pilgrimage that this tribe, the Huichol people, their name for themselves is the Wisharika people, the healers and the prophets, on a pilgrimage through 300-mile pilgrimage through the mountains and deserts of ancient Mexico. And the purpose of the pilgrimage is to find your life, to find your heart path in life. And the Huichols have a belief that I found echoed with the over 50 years I've traveled around the world and spent time studying with indigenous elders of different tribal situations, the same understanding of right relationship to this gift of life that we're given. The understanding that we're not here by accident. None of us are here by accident. The creative wisdom power of the universe, call it the Great Spirit. And I'm so happy to read the book you guys are studying. Judith brought it over. I got a chance to glance through it. And so happy to see what he was talking about in terms of dismantling some of the beliefs of, if you will, Orthodox Christianity, and opening up the mind to explore a more expansive way of understanding spirit, which I found in the indigenous cultures. The idea that we're not here by accident, and that each of us has a sacred purpose in being here. Each of us is given sacred gifts that are to be developed and cultivated to the fullest blossom and greatest good, to share back with our people, with an understanding that their mind, the indigenous mind, isn't traditionally, I would say, poisoned by the belief in human of human intelligence, the primacy of human intelligence, thinking that our intelligence is the greatest thing going, and the primacy of the individual. The indigenous cultures all recognize it's not about me, it's about we, that we're all part of an interconnected web of relationships that exist in infinite potential of what's to be created, depending upon how we show up to this gift of creation, that we're all by birth through grace, sacred beings, and all of creation is sacred because the great mystery, the creative power of the universe is equally in all of us, what's called the two-leggeds, the four-leggeds, the winged people, the flying people, the growing people, all the lived, but also what Western culture considers inanimate. For indigenous people, there's an energy there in everything. You might say, a manifestation of the creator power of the universe, great spirit, God, in everything, not just animate things that we consider living. Everything has consciousness, everything has a spirit, and everything's interrelated. There's no such thing as a separate thing. We are all related. And the purpose of life, like the pilgrimage and the Huichols, is to find our life, to find our heart path, to listen in our hearts and find the spirit, the purpose spirit gave us life. And the vision quest, initially in indigenous cultures in different forms, is usually takes place in adolescence when you're ready to find out what your purpose is, what spirit had in mind for giving you this life. Then you go out on a vision quest. It's not somebody else who tells you your purpose. You go back into what we call nature, and you open yourself up through the fasting and the prayers and listen with humility and receptivity and patience. Sometimes it's days and nights. My longest quest was 4 days and four nights without food and water, opening up, and that breaks you down, and you begin to experience altered states of consciousness that open doorways to a deeper and broader and higher bandwidth of awareness, you might say, higher consciousness. And how, in that vision of higher consciousness, you see and understand, you feel it, you directly experience our interconnectedness. And so the purpose of life is find your heart path in life and create a relationship, a skillful, fruitful relationship with the seen and invisible powers and energies and spirits of nature and the underlying invisible field from which, the mysterious field from which all that we see on the physical plane manifests from, the infinite oneness underlying physical creation. And to be able to walk your heart path to completion, create a relationship, a respectful, skillful, fruitful relationship with these powers and spirits and energies of nature, so that you'll be able to walk your heart path, meeting the challenges that come, internal challenges, the channels that come to us from you might say the world channel, what's happening socially and economically and politically and environmentally, all the challenges that we're being faced with. How can we create a response to those that we use them to help us grow to our highest potentials and the gifts that we have in service to what's called healing the sacred hoop, that circle of interconnectedness that we all live in. And so that's one of other books I've written that you might be interested in. This is like a pictorial book with a little bit of writing of life in a Huichol village and on the pilgrimage trail. It's available from Amazon if you're interested in learning more about that. So let me just listen for a moment. Maybe Tim, you could show some of those pictures. Are you able to do that? And then I could also, you could get a visual instead of just looking at my face, you could get a better look at some of what I'm talking about. Is that possible, Tim, to put those pictures up one by one or no?
Yes, I believe so. Which one would you like to begin with?
Just doesn't matter, just whatever.
Okay. Let's see if this works here.
And I'm really happy that this book you guys are reading.
Can you see that?
Yeah, there you go. So there I am on the current place where I do vision quests and where I'll be in about 6 weeks. It's on private land north of a Joshua tree, and in the background is my spiritual Huichol grandmother that played a key role in the 11 years of apprenticeship I did with her and other Huichol shamans. And that's a juxtaposition of the two of us. Okay, next one. I thought this was an interesting fact. The recognition of indigenous spirituality, that we live in a universe of interconnectedness, and it lives inside of us, and it's all holy, it's all sacred, all to be respected, and all has intelligence, not human intelligence, but a different kind of intelligence that if we do humble ourselves and attune ourselves, we can learn from intelligences that are older than human intelligence, that carry embodied wisdom that's in us also from billions of years of evolution, that when we pay attention to that and learn practices to open up that embedded wisdom, we get the guidance about how to walk our heart path to completion and meet our challenges in ways that we use them to help us grow. Next one. This is a picture of, with all the work that I've done in the shamanic journeys and the vision quests and the pilgrimages, it's always with the purpose of what can I learn about to bring back to make a difference to the lives of people in the world, the urban world we're living in. And so that led me to develop rites of passage for young people, because in the absence of rite of passage that teaches about humility and right relationship to power of nature, of spirit, of God, of the earth, of the ocean, we get into a lot of trouble making up self-destructive rites of passage. This is a complete picture of a completion of a overnight rite of passage as I did with boys at 10 years old, where we're coming to Mother Ocean to open up to her power and give thanks for the gifts that come to us from Mother Ocean and Mother Earth. Next one. I just put this picture in as a manifestation of nature. You can read into it whatever you want, but for me, it makes my heart smile because there's love in action in nature. There's the shelter of the beautiful flower and the intelligence that knows how to blossom flowers. The Huichols call the invisible growth power that comes up from the earth to bring a bud out of a tree, of a piece of wood, a branch. Tecutzin Nakawe, great grandmother growth that comes into us also. And there's the picture of two other beings who have equal purpose in being as we do, taking care of each other in the rain. I thought that was just a lovely expression of love. Next one. And there's a picture of a ceremony I led up in Northern California. There was a man murdered hiking on that trail there. And so it was a great need to come back to the place where he was murdered and do some healing work there on the land and for his spirit and for the people who committed the murder. And so this is there I am, and I'm wearing my Huichol clothing that came to me as part of my initiation work leading that ceremony. Next one. I thought this was an interesting realization. When you realize heart and earth are spelled with the same letters, it all starts to make sense. Heart and earth, or Mother Earth. Oh, next one. As students of spirituality, I imagine some of you have read Houston Smith's book, The Religions of Man, which I read in traveling across the country in 1969. And in later years, Houston and I became friends. This is on his deathbed when I went to see him. And just a wonderful, loving man. And as is Joe Bruchock, he's a wonderful storyteller. Prayers for his healing. Okay, next one. Jerry Jampolsky. Turns out Judith and I both had experiences with Jerry Jampolsky. Jerry started the Center for Attitudinal Healing in the mid-70s. And after, when I was getting my, step back from him, when I was getting my doctoral dissertation, and which was about the wilderness program I developed with heroin addicts, the medical director of the treatment program we had, he was on my doctoral committee. I asked him, Bill, what kind of people do you think I'd be good to work with? And he surprised me, and he said, people who are dying, which is certainly never in my thought. And I was stunned. I said, why? He said, you've been taking people on a vision quest. I'd already been doing that for a couple of years then. This was back in the 70s. He said, people who are dying are on a vision quest, seeking that deeper vision. They might not articulate it in that way, but that's what they're doing, seeking a deeper connection and vision with deeper meaning, purpose, whatever that is for them. And so he invited me to join him with a small group of people who had been working for a year or so to help start the second hospice program in the United States, the first at-home hospice program. So I joined that staff, and we helped develop that program. And a year or two later, Spirit brought me together with Jerry Jampolsky, literally a few miles down from our hospice office, working with children, just started a support group for children with life-threatening illness. And Spirit brought me down to meet Jerry. We had a strong connection. He invited me to join the children's group, which I stayed with for over 30 years, and where the book that Judas showed you, Do They Celebrate Christmas in Heaven, asked me by an 8-year-old boy a few days before he died, where that book came out of. So that came out of that work came out of the vision quest. It wasn't my seeking any of that, but part of the purpose that Spirit gave me in this life is to serve in the ways that I'm serving. And that was at the hospice, then the attitudinal healing work with the children and families with life-threatening illness, serving in many cases like a labor coach, helping children, teenagers, adults in their dying process. They're birthing back into spirit, part of my heart path towards completion in this life of service to spirit. All comes out of the vision quest, going out into nature, opening, paying attention, giving thanks, and listening to what comes back. Okay, next picture. Thought this was funny. Life's too important to take seriously. I spent a half an hour trying to talk with them, wanting to learn about their culture, until the bartender cut me off and told me they were patio umbrellas. It's good to be able to laugh. We have so much seriousness in life and difficulty. It's always good to be able to laugh. Okay, next one. I don't know if this, here's a picture of a, I also studied with Mazateca people, and here's a ceremony again with the sacred fire, giving thanks. It's all about giving thanks. Okay, next one. And here's a group of Huichol people, again, around the sacred fire on pilgrimage. When we go on the pilgrimage and in the village, the ceremonies all take place around the sacred fire, because they believe that the first shaman was Grandfather Fire Spirit, Tatuwari. And it's a direct connection to and from the great spirit, the great mystery. And always transmitting to us, as Father Son is always transmitting to us, not just bringing the life force to Mother Earth, but also bringing wisdom transmission from the creative power of the universe. God, the great spirit, the power, polish up the stardust that our bodies are made of, and help us wake up and remember that we're sacred beings, that we're worthy beings, not by anything we do or accomplish, but that made by the creative power of the universe, our bodies composed of the elements from Mother Earth, that we're worthy of respect and care and compassion and tenderness and celebration. We're sacred, worthy beings of love, that the essence of our being is love, and that we are loved. And what's the purpose of love? The love is forgiving and receiving and living love alive and showing up and doing our part to be part of healing the sacred hoop of life. So the pilgrimages continue, and prayers for all the people on pilgrimage of all kinds to open our hearts and minds and spirits to spirit's guidance for our life. Next one. I thought you might like this image of the feminine is very respected in indigenous cultures, contrary to the patriarchal religions of Eurocentric culture, recognizing that life comes from the feminine, the power of the feminine. It's said among the Aztec people that the two realms of heaven that are highest degrees are for the warriors and for the women who give birth. And of course, Mother Earth gives birth to our physical bodies. And see, here's a beautiful rendition of the sacred feminine honoring the sacred power of the mystery of life. Next one. And here's a picture that I think shows where we are right now and the need for the spiritualization of ecology, to recognize how spirit's present in everyone and everything, and to pay attention to the lessons, the teachings that nature's always giving us about how to be in harmonious relationship that supports healthy life when we're humble and we listen and we act on it, so that we can produce the kind of world that's shown on the right side, a healthy and happy and peaceful, just and beautifully diverse win-win world for all, which is the only real win world, as compared to what happens when we forget how we're all spiritually connected, how we're all part of the great creation of Creator, and how we're all related. So prayers and gratitude to everybody listening here for the work you do through this program and in your own life that contributes and helps us move toward the actualization of the kind of world that we're capable of creating. Oh, is that the last one? Oh, there's one more. There's a picture of me on base camp at Vision Quest out in the desert, that when people go out for their questing time, I have my own time of solitude and fasting, which I love. When the people are out on quest, they don't make a fire, they're in the darkness. When I'm in base camp, when they're out the last night, then I make a fire and I just send out prayers with the drum and support each of the person's experience and on their vision quest. Next one. Oh, okay, so we can come back to our own connection with each other here. Let me just open up the view so I can see everybody, gallery. And I want to open it up to any, I've shared a lot with you. I appreciate your patience and attention. And want to open up to any questions or issues or concerns or anything you'd like to share with me. But I'm reminded that when talking with Judith yesterday, I shared that I have two younger daughters, both in their 50s. And this weekend, actually last night, was the opening of the Santa Barbara Film Festival. And my daughters have a 20-minute film they made called My Type, that's premiering. It's a 17-minute film. It's Saturday night, along with several other short films. And it's about two young people with type 1 diabetes, which my younger daughter got diagnosed with about 6 months ago, and led to this creation of a film. My daughters had no experience making film, but somehow the spirit guided them and brought together this love story between two young people with type 1 diabetes, which is true. So I'm happy to share that news with you in case any of you are in Santa Barbara and want to go see the film. It's playing Saturday night and Monday afternoon. And that's it for me. Doors open for any questions.
Thank you, Tom. And what is the name of that film? My Type, is it?
My Type, yeah.
My Type.
My Type, yeah.
Well,
love story. Inspirational.
Well, we are inspired. The Spirit sent you to us, Tom. You embody ecological spirituality. So, I mean, anybody that's got any questions or want to interact, we have had a delightful presentation there. So you know how to put your hands up if you want to ask a question to Tom.
I just want to mention, too, that Tom has to leave in about 18 minutes. So we will do our reflection groups after we do a little Q&R kind of with him. So we have some questions for you for those too.
I also left four questions for you that when you do the breakout groups, build on what I shared and see what it brings up for you. Because always the most important thing isn't what I share, but what it brings up in your own awareness.
Yeah, thank you. Mike, I see a hand up.
Hi, I'm not sure I quite have this question framed properly, but from a religious point of view, traditional, when you're trying to connect to a superior being, there's a personification often needed, a God the Father, Jesus, the person of Jesus, praying to Jesus. If you're a good Catholic, you go to Mary as an intercessor. And I'm just curious, since I haven't experienced, what is the connection to this spirit that you have when you're out in a vision quest? Is it personal? Is it larger than that? Is it different? How would you describe it?
It's personal and it's larger than that. And I do have to admit, I'm somewhat of a mystic. And through the altered state experiences that I've had over half a century, I have had transformational experience, vision experiences, two times with Jesus. And I come from a secular atheist background, so that was a surprise to me. I also had a numinous vision and ceremony with the Mazateca mushroom ceremony with with Mother Mary, and so those experiences very much inform my spirituality expression. And when I'm not always when I start my day, the first thing that I when I'm aware I'm awake is that not everybody who went to sleep last night is getting up this morning. So the very fact that I'm aware that I'm awake, that's not my doing. That's the Great Spirit's doing, who wants me here. Certainly has the power. I know from 3.5 years old, when my dad was taken away, and nobody asked me if I was okay with that, that this power of death can come at any time. And so none of us knows how long we're here for. So when I wake up in the morning, I'm aware I'm being breathed. That breath that's coming into me is the breath of life from the Great Spirit, who wants me here. And so I open myself up with gratitude to thank you, Great Spirit. Sacred. The Lakota people don't have a word for God. They have the expression Wahantanka, and it means sacred mystery. It's an acknowledgement that what basically our quantum physicists is now telling us, the same thing. 95% of what's happening in the universe, we have no clue what's happening. All our science knowledge comprises 5% of what's happening in the universe. The rest is mystery, dark energy, dark matter, mystery. So the indigenous people recognize that it's beyond our individual comprehension of the sacred mystery. It's infinite, infinite creative wisdom, powers, essences, infinite unconditional light and love. And instead of trying to control it, let's open up to it with gratitude. The way we open up to it is gratitude. One of my favorite expressions is grace grows where gratitude flows. You want some more grace in your life? Take stock of all you have to be thankful for, give thanks for it, and that grows more grace. So my experience is the sacred mystery is present in everything, everywhere, all the time, and is also always seeking to bring through fullest blossom and greatest good. But it's not guaranteed in this life, and that's why we're given our lives, so we could show up to the challenges of our lives, both internally, whatever that might be, in our family systems and in the world. We could show up to those challenges and be part of creating a response to those challenges that opens the doorway for fullest blossoming and greatest good to come through. And that's how we walk on our heart path to completion. So when we meet the end of our life, whenever it might be, we can look back on our lives with gratitude that we showed up to give it our best shot, to live in our integrity, our authenticity, our soulfulness, and honor that purpose that Spirit gave us to be alive. So that's a lot of words for a feeling sense of what I relate to, not just on Vision Quest, but every day with every interaction, because every interaction is an opportunity to be healing. And it doesn't depend what the other person is doing, it totally depends on us.
Thank you.
Thanks. Roger, you want to unmute and go ahead.
Yeah, Tom, this is really fascinating. Thank you for sharing. It's quite an inspiration. I'm curious about people who live in cities and in urban areas where they don't have access to nature. And what guidance do you have for them in terms of putting them in touch with something, deeper?
It's a great question. I've thought a lot about that because my travels sometimes take me into cities, and then I can't be out in the beautiful nature directly the way I want to be. So, if we live in the cities, you got to work a little harder. Just like in the morning when you get up, and I go out and greet the sun. Sometimes there's clouds, sometimes there's rain, maybe there's snow, fog. I can't see the sun. Father Sun's up there, pulsating its energy from 93 million miles away, the same as it does when there's clouds. But I've got to work a little harder, connect with it in my own awareness. So in the city, I have to work a little harder to connect with nature. So everything starts with intention. So I remember walking down many, many years ago, took my daughter when she was 13, wanted to go to the Hard Rock Cafe. So we took her to the Hard Rock Cafe, walking down the street in Manhattan. And there in the concrete, little weeds coming up in the cracks in the concrete. The weed children would say, there's the power of great grandmother growth coming up in the city. Look up at the skyscrapers. You can hardly see the sky because of all the skyscrapers. If you look up at the skyscrapers at the windowsills, you'll see frequently birds sitting on the sills of the apartment building. And if you look up at the little part of sky you can see, you might be able to see a little cloud. You might be able to feel some wind. You might see a bird fly by. You got to work a little harder, activate the muscles of faith and trust that because you can't visually see what you can see when you're totally out in nature, it's still there. It's still there. We just have to work on our own attunement that it's happening. I can't see it maybe with my eyes, but it's coming to me, and I can open my heart to receive it and give thanks for it, even though I can't see it.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeannie, you wanna go ahead?
Yes, in defense of New York City, being from New York City originally. So in the 80s, I was really on a deep vision quest of spirituality, and there are many places in New York that are little light worker centers to study and to gather and to be together, little points of light in the city. Also, there's Central Park, which is, the four people created this park before that part of the city was even developed. It's alive and thriving with nature and with people from all walks. Vest pocket parks, little parks all over the city. And then places to where you could go in nature to do your vision quests. Like, for example, I went with a group of people from New York up to Vermont, where my teacher was giving her lessons about. It's amazing. She's passed away, but what you're saying is reminding me of what I learned, Tom, 40 years ago. And I'm so grateful to you because it's reminding me of all this. But we went up to Vermont, and I remember feeling scared, sitting in the middle of the wilderness, all by myself, no food, no water. But thank you for reminding me. But knowing that people in the cities, we do have access, or we did, to the vision quest.
Yeah,
So thank
thank
you.
you. You're also reminding me that planted in different places, different blocks. And when I could find a tree, then I would, there's my connection, there's my place, roots down into the earth, the branches reaching up to the sun to say thank you, and a connection between above and below. And there's my doorway to nature connection in the middle of the city, another one. Thank you for your reminder.
Exactly. There's a lot of sacredness in the cities as well, but
There's sacredness
thank you.
everywhere. There's sacredness everywhere. Everyone, everything, everywhere, all the time. Spirit's present. There's no place spirit isn't present.
But then there are the subways.
Gotta
Great
work a
place
little
to
harder.
concentrate.
Yeah. Well, then you're going down into the womb of Mother Earth, and there's a whole lot of mechanical things going on there, and she's still present. And it's like, what do we choose to make conscious choice about what we attune our consciousness to?
Exactly. Thank you so much. This is incredible. It's so full. I couldn't stop taking notes. I had to write down everything you said. Thank you so much.
Just remember, the most important thing is what it brings up for you, not what I said.
Roger, you want to unmute again and go ahead?
Yeah, just quickly, Tom, when you talk about the physicality of life, you have everything's animated is with consciousness. So the physical world, the human creations of skyscrapers, buildings, pollution, buses, nuclear energy, contamination, all contain sacredness, yes, of a kind. It
Yes,
not
yeah.
being human understood,
Yes.
But in and of itself, it is sacred. I'm curious how one relates to that and to technology generally, in terms of a deep spiritual connection, and just whether you've had any experiences in that way.
Well, I'm reminded, your question reminds me of a quote from Martin Luther King. We have guided missiles, but we don't have guided leaders. So technology that humans produce from our intelligence can be used for good or can be used for evil, if you want to call it that. It depends upon, but you just take a primitive technology like a knife. I can pick up a knife and use it to threaten you and rob you. Or if I was a doctor and you were choking somewhere, I could perform a tracheotomy with that knife. Is the knife good or bad? Any technology. It depends upon the motivation, the intention of the person picking up the technology. And if our value system is one of how can we conquer nature, how can we control nature, the hubris of that, or other people, or take from the earth without giving back, then it leads to the problems we're having. So to me, it's always right now the whole thing with AI. Wonderful things can come out of AI, but it can also be abused. Anything can be used skillfully with the right intention and the right knowledge, or can be abused. So it comes down to, again, our consciousness and our motivation, our intention. Everything starts with intention. So we can use intention to serve health and wellness and peace and justice, and use the technology to feed and house and provide health care and education and meaningful opportunities for employment. And we have everything we need to be able to create a truly healthy and happy, peaceful, just, beautifully diverse win-win world if we expand our consciousness to recognize how we're all interconnected, and what we do to the earth, what we do to the river, to the ocean, to other people, to animals, we do to ourselves, and we do to our grandchildren.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah. Just one more thought here. We're almost out of time.
Yeah, Jackie, you want to unmute and go ahead?
Just one. Is there,
Look.
well, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, you meant yours, Tom. I'm sorry.
No, well, let's take the person. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Okay, just a simple little reminder of wherever you live, no matter where you go, there is always mud, and we do our best to avoid it. But mud, although we step around it whenever we can, has a persona of its own. You can find nature in something that's rather unattractive because it's teeming with life.
Thank you. Tom, you want to go ahead and make a last reflection?
What I think a central dynamic that I found in indigenous people around the world is the recognition that reciprocity is a sacred endeavor. Reciprocity is sacred. If you just think about it for a moment, the evolution of Earth, molten lava and rock, and then eventually life grows up in the ocean, and then life comes up on the land, and there's plants, and then there's animals. None of those need us. None of that needs us. We're the new kids on the block. We need all of that. And without all of that, we wouldn't be here. And they're always giving to us, like my original Vision Quest teacher told us. And so it's incumbent on us, it's part of the origin stories of indigenous people, that we've entered into a contractual relationship with those powers that give us life. And our obligation is to give back to those powers gratitude. And when we forget to do that, then things start to go awry, and that's where we are right now. So reciprocity is sacred, recognizing with gratitude all the gifts that were given by spirit through nature 24/7, and asking ourselves, what am I doing from my heart? So it's not just empty words, to give back thanks and caretake those ones who give us our lives, the ocean, the trees, the air, everything.
Tom, I want to thank you, and I want to end with these words from your book. We need only to open our hearts to the presence of unconditional love and remember that we are sacred, worthy, luminous beings, and we are love, and our love is forgiving. Thank you so much, Tom, for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. God bless all of you. Take good care.
Thanks,
we hope
Tom.
You'll come back. We're here all the time, Thursday mornings. Come back and tune in and see what we're up to.
Okay.
We really appreciate you. The Spirit led us to you.
Me too.
Take care.
Bye.
Well, any closing reflections, conversation, wisdom you want to offer up? I think we have just a little bit of time here to spend together. Feel free to jump in.
In our group, I would love our, I'm sorry, I don't know Diane's husband's name because it's Diane. On her screen, can you share what you said about life as a
Lee.
man, as a, what
Lee
Lee okay, thank you, sorry Lee, as a mini vision quest, will you share the last things you were saying? I think they were so powerful.
It was any activity or endeavor where the outcome isn't absolutely certain is a bit of an adventure. Sort of a little mini vision quest. And I followed that with a comment about the adventure doesn't begin until something goes wrong.
That's when the challenge erupts.
I found Tom to be very motivating. He really was speaking as a man who lives really in nature as much as possible. And it really brought strong, very strong memories of all the times I have been in the wilderness. And I think I will be walking down the street feeling different and wanting to share about it too. So I love this.
I loved his talk, loved it. It reminded me of so much that I, that was in the back of my mind, but now it came back. We also in our group had the revelation that all things are in soul, like everything has soul in a way, and how our books carry energy, and the whole planet is ensouled, and we need to have respect for everything. And that gratitude, the more gratitude we have, the more gratitude grows and flows. So we had a great group. It's hard to go over everything, but it was great.
What else? Yeah, go ahead, Judy.
I want to go back to this book that he gave me. Do They Celebrate Christmas in Heaven? And the book is, it's self-published. And the journey of life and death is a sacred circle. Within its center lies the gift of peace. So he, there's different vignettes in here of how he interacted with an eight-year-old and a six-year-old and a teenager when they were, they knew that they were at the end, but the circle of life was just going to continue, and the spirit was going to go off. And the words that he used, which each one of these children, it's an amazing, he is an amazing human being. And I think it started when he lost his dad at such a young age, and it just affected him all his life. And he's a life of service. So I don't know that we can get copies of this book. He has them at his house. I don't think they're on Amazon, but I can share this if somebody wants to look at it. It's beautiful.
Judith, did he, can you tell me the name of the other book that he said he wrote?
Well, I wrote the fact that I'm going to ask him those questions so I can send it when we do the upgate. Does anybody
Okay.
else get the name of the book? I got the name of the diabetes film, My Type.
Oh,
That's
yes.
what his daughters were doing.
I think it's called Walking the Sacred Road.
Walking a sacred road.
A sacred road. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. We'll get some and those pictures were great. How about Earth having the same letters as heart and
Yeah.
the umbrellas, wasn't the umbrella? It sure did look like three nuns to me. Anybody else have? Yes, Jackie. Unmute, girl. You're still muted. Okay, she says, never mind. Next week, we have the author is going to be with us next week, all the way from Dublin. So get ready for a beautiful Irish brogue. Alice is going to be the moderator, and because she knows him from way back when Diarmaid was here in Santa Barbara, when we were up at Holy Cross. Alice brought him in person, and he was here in person. I remember that day. So Alice is going to introduce him next week. And so the title of his chapter is Spirituality and Human Origins. So he's going to be speaking next week. He's already sent us an outline of his talk. So I'm going to send the outline on to you, and we can follow along the outline when he speaks. All right.
Judith,
Yes.
is he gonna be here in person at some point? Did I see that somewhere?
No, not that I know of. He's coming from Dublin. Okay. All right. Anything else? Let's unmute anybody. I'll unmute, and we haven't got anybody to thank. We can thank Tim. Thanks, Tim, for holding us together.
And Judith.
We do, we can, you know.
Yes.
Thank
Thank
you,
you,
Tim
Yeah.
and Judith.
Okay.
Thank
It
you. Bye,
worked.
everyone. Lovely
It
to be
worked.
with
Thank, yeah,
Thank
thanks for
you.
making it work, Judy.
Yes, thank you.
The spirit was with
Bye-bye.
Next
I'll see you
week.
next week. Thank you to my group.
I'll
Yes,
see you
it's
soon.
78 degrees,
My
just so you
too.
know.
See you
Yes,
next week.
78
Bye.
degrees.
Take care,
Thank
all.
you. Bye-bye.
See
Thanks,
ya.
Tim.